And then one of those angels that brings about, presents one of those bold judgments, God pouring out his wrath. One of these angels now takes John on a journey, spiritual journey, of showing him what this kingdom, what this system that is going to fall, what it was all about. And so this week we're going to be looking at 17, which really looks at the religious system, which Scripture calls Babylon. But then, and next week, more of the commerce side of it, the financial, the worldly possessions side of it. But the focus today is the spiritual context of where this time period is going to be in the time of the tribulation. And so, again, this is something that hasn't happened yet. It's looking forward. And so John is taken on this journey by this angel, this vision of what this looks like. And so the pending destruction that is going to come upon this religious system, called ultimately Babylon. But there's several interesting things that we'll unpackage from this chapter here this morning. And I was just sharing this morning with Lance and some other, and I know I think I've mentioned this before, I have zero liberty of trying to put any of my own thoughts into what I think, right? I want to, so you study out other commentaries and so on, what they present, and so you want to ask the Lord to just give real clarity of what makes what seems clear from the passage in which we're looking at here. I never want to add anything to what I think is going to happen and what things represent. It is encouraging that in this passage there are some. It clearly does speak of this is what this represents and this is what this represents. So we're going to see that this morning. But there are certainly questions within chapter 17 of what exactly is this all going to mean with regards to how it's going to all happen and who's all going to be involved. Who are these kings and these rulers and so on? But we know that this judgment's coming and that this doom is coming to this religious system. Well, in John 17, 1, it says, "One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, 'Come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters. With her, the kings of the earth committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries.'" John is led in the Spirit, as our, go to our notes, want to follow along there. John is led in the Spirit by an angel to get a glimpse of the pending destruction of the apostate world religion. A religion, a mindset that has stepped away from the truth about who God is, and has stepped aside and has pathed their own way, right? And we see that everywhere today. That's very relevant and very real today in our world of religion that has takes people in every way but to the truth of God and His Word. But this is what is going to be dealt with, and this is the focus of this passage here this morning, is as it talks about the great prostitute, the woman, the religious system, who now is governing over the nations, the people of this time, and is taking them in a way, in a direction that is far removed from the truth of God and His Word. who sits on many waters. With her, the kings of the earth committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries. And this religious system points back to, we'll see further as we go on a little further here, it points to Babylon, it says. Well, we know that Babylon was a city, but Babylon is also mentioned and referred to in Scripture as a belief system. Ultimately, of what came out of it was detestable. And we really can go back to in Genesis chapter 11 is kind of where you get the beginning of the religious system and mindset of Babylon, of what Scripture refers to, this religious system mindset of Babylon, which takes us back to in Genesis 11, 1 through 9, the Tower of Babel. The whole world, as it says in Genesis 11, 1 through 9, now the whole world had one language and common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. And the Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world, and from there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. So we see it's a location, but also out of that comes a belief system. The belief system that then is perpetuated and taken on the worship of Baal, and we could go on to all the many things that come out of Babylon, but it's not also a place, but it's also a belief system. That great prostitute symbolizes the false religious system this prostitute spoke of here in 17 and verse 1. All those were intoxicated on immorality. I have a misprint there. All those that were intoxicated on immorality. Basically consumed, controlled. When somebody's intoxicated with alcohol or a drug or whatever, they're out of control. They're being controlled by something. And in this case, we see that this religious system is intoxicated upon immorality of filth and the rotten decay of secular humanism and so on. And oh my goodness, do we not see a world today? We don't need to wait for then. We see today that we live in a world that is intoxicated in itself, enamored in its own fleshly desires, wishes, and wants. But what is going to be dealt with here is entirely, that's the mindset of this time period, is going to be a people intoxicated upon the things that are immoral, adultery and lust and the desires of their own heart and mind. That's what they'll want. That's the people that are going to be dealt with here. And this is the vision, again, that John is seeing. The beast is reference to the world government led by the Antichrist. Okay? So the Antichrist being a part of it, the beast, but also then the government in which he is in charge of. Okay, the beast, a reference to the world government and the Antichrist. We've already seen him back in chapter 13 and in other places, and a reference to this, the beast. the seven heads and the seven, or excuse me, the ten horns, as it mentions here in this passage, in Revelation 17:3. The angel carried me away in the spirit in the desert, and there I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had seven heads and ten horns. The beautiful adornment of apostate religion are all the religious entrapments that the prostitute the truth, is what is being spoke of here in this, in the following verses. In verse 4, it says, the woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. She held a golden cup in her hand filled with abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. We get a picture of the, of a system that is so, again, just consumed with the outward, with the pleasures of the world, all of these things. And basically, as it, you look at this passage here of how it brings out prostitute, this horrible, ugly picture of one who is selling themselves out to something so broken and so messed up. And that's what these people are doing, selling themselves out to a lie rather than to the truth. It brings us to the question of what is it that we sell ourselves out to day in and day out? What is it that we are giving ourselves over to? What are we allowing to control us and to be our rule and guide in our lives day to day? Is it the Lord? Is it the things of truth of God and His Word? Or is it the things of this world? The sinful heart and desires and passions that are so consumed with self. This beautiful adornment was nothing more than fraud. It was something that was counterfeit, right? And my friends, we can look at not only our world, and we can look at just the systems, the governments, and all of the organizations, so many things that have just so lost their ways. Unfortunately, we see many within Christendom, the church, even those professing to be a part of the church, to be so enamored with the things that are simply counterfeit. They're not focused on the truth. They're not focused on Jesus. They're not focused on the love of God and the hate of sin. They're not looking at the sacrificial work of Christ and what He has done. But what can a religion give me of pleasure and blessings that we want to say that God will give to us if we just give enough money, or if we just, oh my word, the organizations out there today that are so driven by, you give us money and you will be blessed. You will get everything that you want, and how people fall into that. Oh, God does bless us, but we have to have a right heart and motivation for what we are doing. And if it isn't centered upon a love relationship with Christ and living life and being good steward and doing it for His glory, it is meaningless. And so you have a religious system here, here in Revelation 17, that is just so intoxicated with its own desires and wishes, immorality, lust, sexual debauchery, and just horrible things that are going on. And we see those things happening today. In verse 6, this could be pointing to the reality of all Christ followers, that they will be martyred for their faith in Christ. Actually, I want to back up to verse 5, because this bringing up Babylon, meant to look at that. This title was written on their forehead: Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. This religious system that we're looking at here, of what John is getting a vision of, who is going to get destroyed, who is it that's going, the destruction that is going to come, what does that look like? Well, it's those who have prostituted themselves to everything that is of filth and contrary to the things of the Lord, the abominations of the earth. What a horrible thing to have written on their forehead. This is who we are. This is what we represent. This is what we belong to. And this is what these people, this is who they will be. And I saw that woman was drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of those who bore testimony of Jesus. This could be pointing to the reality that during this time, we know that many of the believers will be martyred for their faith. But there are those looking at different commentaries that thought that in what is said here, and then what is how John responds in the next thought of the horror, the thought of all of these believers being martyred, and this woman was drunk with the blood, just enamored with destroying the truth. So she believed. This world religion, this world way of thinking, loving nothing more than destroying those who stand for something true. The movie last night, it was very interesting. The scene of when the coach gets thrown in jail and the individuals within prison that were against him. And you just felt the hatred. You felt the disdain for him because of what he stood for, because of the God that he served. Well, it's going to be taken to an unbelievable level during this time when all who knew Christ or know Christ as Savior, this world religion is going to just be intoxicated with destroying and shedding their blood. And John here, he says, when I saw her, I was greatly astonished. Then the angel said to me, why are you astonished? I will explain to you the mystery of the woman and the beast she rides, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast which you saw once was, now is not, and will come up out of the abyss and go to his destruction. The inhabitants of the earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the creation of the world, will be astonished when they see the beast, because he once was, now is not, and yet will come. It appears that the Antichrist is going to lead a renewed Roman Empire that is going to rise up and is going to be established, looking at those, the kings, that are referred to, the seven heads, the ten horns, and what that's all going to look like. I remember when we had Bob Anderson here some years ago, and he does a really good job of going through and giving what he understands that's going to take place with the European Union and so on. The reality is we know that there is going to, as we see in this passage, there is going to be leaders within the world that are going to rise up. They're not yet, but they're going to. They're going to rise up, and they're going to have a significant role and place in ultimately, as we're going to see at the tail end of this passage, setting up the Antichrist to have the power that he so longs to have and desires. It's interesting to see how a world system can get enamored and swept away in such evil, demonic, truly from the abyss, as we this individual and this system rising up out of the abyss, it's from hell, it's demonic. And to see how it is going to be enamored with him and ultimately is going to come to what we see at the end of chapter 17 here. The Roman Empire has been historically described as a nation built on seven hills. As we look in verse 9, so why would we come to the conclusion that maybe this is a Roman Empire? Well, it's because of what Scripture has historically said about the Roman Empire. And we see here in verse 9, this calls for a mind with wisdom. The seven heads are seven hills on which the woman sits. And they are also seven kings. Five have fallen. One is, the other has not yet come. But when he does come, he must remain for a little while. The beast who once was and now is not is an eighth king. And he belongs to the seven, and is going to his destruction. I have to admit, there's things within this that I don't understand. But all I do know is I see what the end result is going to be, of what is going to come. And we know that we just start to be watching and looking towards the times and what's taking place in our day and our age. We're not going to be here. We're not going to be here to experience this. We are confident of that. But those that are here are going to be witnessing these things taking place. And it's going to unfold as God has ordained here in his word. The seven heads, as it tells us here in this passage, the seven heads are seven kings. Five kings are going to be done away with, more than likely by the Antichrist, to increase his power. And the Antichrist will ultimately meet his destruction, as we read in verse 11. The beast who once was and now is not is the eighth king, and he belongs to the seven and is going to his destruction. He is going to be destroyed. He will come to his end, to his demise. That's always comforting to me, to know that we are on the winning side, that we serve a God who is in charge, and he's laid it out clearly what is going to take place, and that encourages us. It should, anyway. 10 nations in the renewed Roman Empire will form an alliance with the Antichrist, as we see in verses 12 and 13. The 10 horns you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but who for 1 hour will receive authority as kings along with the beast. So we're seeing them coming together. But look, and then it says, they have one purpose and will give their power and authority to the beast, to the Antichrist. They're going to hand over their authority, their power to the Antichrist to let him do his thing. Fascinating to see how it's all going to come unfold, and it just seems unthinkable that it can happen. And yet, as we've discussed, as we've looked at the last couple years, how the world can get enamored with one individual and literally shut the entire world down because of the opinion of really one man. Pretty amazing. So it doesn't surprise me, honestly, that this is going to take place. But to see that these nations, these kings together, come together, working with the Antichrist, and they're basically going to surrender their authority over to the Antichrist for the Antichrist to to do his thing. They will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. I love that. I love that. To give power and authority to the beast, to make war against the Lamb, this coalition, as we mentioned, and then we see victory will go to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in verse 14. It always encourages me, no matter what will happen and how we... I don't understand everything that is going to take place. I can read and I can see what's God's word clearly says. These are things that are going to take place, and there's different representations here. But we see the end of the story, and we know that we are on the winning side. And with that, it brings me great encouragement. But for those who are not on the winning side, they are going to experience absolute destruction. That should convict us. That should challenge us. And that should stir us to care about the things to come. Because for those who know Jesus, there's victory. And for those who reject him, it is eternal destruction. Victory will go to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This innocent Lamb. I love that, how the Lamb it talks about here in that passage, in verse 14. They will make war against the Lamb. Capital L. Notice, speaking of Jesus, going to make war against the Lamb. This perfect, innocent Lamb of God. But he's going to come, as we've talked about last week, the comparison of the first advent to the second advent. He is going to come with judgment, and he will win. He will come as a lion, and he is going to destroy all of that is against him. The angel gives a final overview of what John has seen, as we see in verses 15 and following. I'm just going to read that, and it says everything that we need to know. It says, the angel said to me, the waters you saw where the prostitute sits are peoples, multitudes, and nations, and languages. The beast and the 10 horns that you saw will hate the prostitute. They will bring her to ruin and leave her naked. They will eat her flesh and burn with fire. For God has put into their hearts to accomplish his purpose. And that's the thing that we need to remember in all of this. God has a purpose and a plan. His purpose, by agreeing to give the beast their power to rule until God's words are fulfilled. The woman you saw is the great city that rules over the kings of the earth. My friends, I am so thankful that we serve a God whom from the very beginning of time had a plan and a purpose to bring about redemption to a broken and lost world. And we have had a lifetime. We have had 10,000 years, wherever you land in those, of time of humanity to understand and to see what God has done and what he has ordained and what he has purposed. And he's told us what's going to come. And we need to believe it. It's coming. And with that knowledge, for us to know that in the destruction to come, there's purpose, there's a plan, there's redemption for those who choose to honor him. And why would I want to waste a moment of my days worshiping a system that is ultimately going to be totally destroyed? This system, this religious system that's built upon man's ways, man's wants, man's desires, rather than upon the truth of God and his word. Why would I want to waste a moment focusing on those things, but to focus upon the things of truth? and that alone. This all serves as a great reminder that the worldly system, which promises much pleasure and self-fulfillment, will soon pass away. That encourages me. But we stand on the side of truth, of what God proclaims as right and as what is good. And Lord, would you help us to never veer to the right or the left of that. It behooves dedicated Christians to separate themselves from Satan's false church, from the pleasures, the wants, the desires of self-gratification and whatever you want to put in there of the false church, of what focuses on anything other than the truth, and to identify with those who are true to Christ and the Word of God. The false church may appear to be successful for a season, but their doom is fixed. My friends, let us remember who we serve. Let us be committed and dedicated as a church to the truth of God and His Word, never to deviate from it. For what value would that be? And why should we compromise? Again, I loved that movie last night of how he was unwilling to compromise in the things that God had called him to do. Boy, Lord, will you give us that conviction to be committed, to stand true, to do what you called us to do, and do it unwavering? The men come forward that I've asked to help out with communion.